This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Mike Canary. Thanks for joining us. The number of plant-based meat-like products, like the Impossible Burger, have rapidly increased in the past few years. Consumer data from 2018 showed sales of plant-based meat grew 23% that year, while regular meat only grew about 2%. Around 30% of American consumers now say that they're reducing their meat consumption, and about 32% consider themselves flexitarian. Some are choosing to go plant-based for moral reasons, but many are trying to reduce the amount of meat they consume for health reasons. On today's show, we're getting a preview of VegFest 2020, which is this Sunday at Riverside Park in Bonita Springs. Now, in its fourth year, the annual event seeks to highlight the benefits of eating a plant-based diet and the science behind those benefits. I'm joined in studio by Mike Young. He's one of the main organizers of Southwest Florida VegFest 2020 and founder of the nonprofit aplantbaseddiet.org. Mike, welcome to Gulf Coast Life.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
And we're joined on the line by Dr. Neil Barnard. He's an author, clinical researcher, and founding president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and will be one of the featured presenters at VegFest. Dr. Barnard, thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And also on the line is Dr. Michael Clapper. He's a physician, vegan health educator, and author, and will also be a featured presenter this Sunday. Dr. Clapper, thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this conversation or any of our shows, find us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Mike Young, let's start with you. What are the basics on VegFest 2020? Like where, what, when, why?
All right. Well, it is in this weekend, actually, Sunday, all day, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Bonita Springs, which is like the center, we think, or close to the center of Southwest Florida. That's why we call it Southwest Florida VegFest. It's a free festival. It's really for fun, entertainment, education. We want to educate about the plant-based lifestyle, and we do that through presenters like Dr. Barnard, Dr. Clapper, others that we actually bring in from out of the area, like big names. These guys are big names. We've got some other big names as well. We've got music all day, like a festival, fun type environment, live music, multiple bands, cooking demonstrations. Actually, some of our healthy vegan food, we call cooking demonstrations all day. And we also have a fitness area all day and a kids area as well. And, of course, vendors, 100-plus vendors, all kinds of food. It's like a lunch food festival type event.
How long have you been doing this?
This is the fourth year.
Fourth year? Has
yes.
It been growing every year?
I'd say it grew dramatically from the first to second year. We've kind of leveled off, but we're at just a huge, huge event. We have trouble keeping up with it, which is great because this movement is expanding and we're just trying to take part in that locally.
What's your nonprofit, real quick, a plantbaseddiet.org all about?
It is about public education and getting the word out about the plant-based lifestyle, plant-based living, plant-based nutrition, and how and why that benefits, we call for people, animals, and our planet. That's our motto. Those three facets are benefited by plant-based lifestyles, and we just want to get the word out and talk about how positive it is to become a plant-based eater and learn about all the benefits. And we believe it's all science-based, which Dr. Clapper and Dr. Barnard can attest to. And we believe the more knowledge there is, the more folks are led in this direction.
What does your diet look like these days, and how long has it looked like that?
Okay, for me, my big change took place about 6 years ago when I got rid of the animal products. I was a vegetarian before that. I was a very strict eater before that. I had some health problems in the past with high cholesterol, and that's kind of led me down the path of learning about nutrition and how that affects your health. And for me, it really did have a positive impact. So for me, I'm eating 100% plants, and I have for 6 years. And the more we learn about the science, and again, Dr. Barnard and Clapper can speak more on that, the more specific we know about how to eat, what not to eat, and it's an ongoing evolving thing. So we feel we have a great position in the community, and we love what we're doing, and we want to just keep getting this word out about the knowledge.
When you went to an entirely plant-based diet, what did your friends and family think? Because I know that's one of the things that,
right,
that comes up. Some people sort of roll their eyes at it.
Correct. Still. That did happen, actually. I didn't have any friends or any family that were following that lifestyle at the time 6 years ago. Actually, I'd say 6 years ago was another era almost. Right now, it's become very popular. We hear about it. I know you probably talk about it on a regular basis here in the station. It's just a topic that comes up every once in a while. And in the past, since I didn't know anyone, I started social media through the nonprofit, and that social media has grown dramatically. And we connect people online. We connect people on YouTube. We connect people, you know, here on local media and, of course, through our events.
Speaking of another era, Dr. Clapper, you graduated from University of Illinois College of Medicine in 1972. I want to know, where did the idea of focusing on diet in terms of one's overall health, and in particular maybe consuming a plant-based diet, fit into your medical training, if anywhere?
Well, it kind of barged its way in. It didn't fit into my medical training yet. Like most physicians, even today, not a word really was mentioned about the patient's diet in learning about all these diseases. No, I was out of medical school. I was doing a residency in anesthesiology. I thought I was going to be an anesthesiologist. And day after day, I'm on the cardiovascular anesthesia service dealing with people's hearts and blood vessels. And day after day, I'm putting people to sleep and watching them open up the arteries in the heart and pulling out this yellow, fatty gut called atherosclerosis that clearly was the fat of the animal these people were eating. Those studies were already in the medical journals. And my dad was already showing signs of clogged arteries. His diet would eventually kill him from clogged arteries. And I knew I was going to be lying on that operating table with that Stryker saw going up my sternum if I didn't change my diet. And so the message I was getting in the operating room, really, I couldn't ignore it. And changed to a plant-based diet. Within 12 weeks, a 20-pound spare tire of fat melted off my waist. My high blood pressure came down. My high cholesterol came down. And I felt great waking up in a nice, lean body. And I knew that plant-based nutrition was the key to healing. And at that point, I didn't want to be an anesthesiologist and put people to sleep for all my career. I wanted to go back to general practice and help them wake up. And so I did. I left anesthesia and went back to general practice with a plant-based nutritional viewing. And my patients started getting healthier as well. And I'm the happiest doctor I know. My patients get healthy. And so that's how plant-based medicine barged its way into my awareness and my medical practice. But it was a wonderful interruption in my anesthesia career.
What year would that have been then when you made that pivot? How long ago was that?
1981.
So that's been a long time. How much more has the culture changed since then in terms of the public acceptance of this idea?
Oh, it's been a tsunami of awareness that swept through, a good tsunami this time, where even in the, certainly through the 80s and 90s, it was just dismal. Go to the health food store, you could buy some powdered soy formula to mix into water. That was soy milk back then. But since then, certainly since the turn of this century, the last 10 to 20 years, we have seen a revolution, not only in the awareness of the general public through wonderful movies like Forks Over Knives and What the Health and The Game Changers and Cowspiracy, but all these wonderful products now that are available so people don't have to feel like I'll never have another burger again, I'll never have another hot dog. Yeah, you can even have those foods and eat plant-based. Not that those foods are the bastion of health, but it helps people transition into whole food plant-based diets. So it's gotten so much easier between the internet, the public awareness, the films, and the products. It's a different world and one that I'm welcoming because we need to change our diet for our own national health as well as the health of the planet, which is what the event on Sunday is about.
Hmm. Dr. Barnard, what about you? You got your medical training at George Washington University School of Medicine. When did plant-based diets enter your, you know, worldview?
Yes, I adopted a completely plant-based diet at the end of my medical training. I did two things. I quit smoking and I stopped eating animal products. I did it in the same year. And our focus now is a little bit different, where we're actually studying the applications of this, where we brought in people with type 2 diabetes who probably had felt that they would never improve and that it was a gradual decline into more and more medications and complications. And we showed that if you use a totally vegan diet, no animal products at all, and you keep the oils really, really low, and it's a very healthy, simple diet, diabetes improves, and sometimes it just goes away. And so now I'm kind of on the warpath to let both doctors and lay people know that there are so many applications of this approach. It's not just a great way to lose weight or tackle diabetes or bring down your cholesterol and protect the heart, but it appears to probably reduce the risk of Alzheimer's. And my new thing now is talking about hormones, that you can actually use this kind of diet for everything from menstrual cramps and endometriosis, all the way to hot flashes and even hormone-related cancers, thyroid disease, and for men, erectile dysfunction, infertility issues. And so my new preoccupation now is I'm on a book tour with my book, Your Body in Balance, which is all about these other applications that that are, I don't want to say icing on the cake, because that's not exactly the most vegan analogy, but the idea is that these are even more things that a healthy vegan diet will accomplish.
How much peer-reviewed science is there on these various things that are the benefits that we're pointing to?
Huge amounts. Well, for example, our studies with diabetes, the National Institutes of Health funded our research in 2003, so it's peer-reviewed before you even start. And then our findings were peer-reviewed by the American Diabetes Association, which published them first in 2006, and then presented there at the ADA. And there are many, 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 many studies. Now, there are still frontiers. We're now looking at, for example, the effect of a plant-based diet on the thyroid and through the thyroid to our energy levels and how we feel from day to day, or on mood. And those are areas still under exploration. But with regard to what a vegan diet will do for your weight, your cholesterol, your blood pressure, your diabetes, there we have much more than enough evidence to take action now.
I asked Mike about, how his friends and family responded when he switched to a vegan diet. And I'm just wondering, taking that back a step, sort of culturally speaking, over your career, and I'll ask you to follow up on this too, Dr. Clapper, how have you seen the kinds of pushback that you get from people who think you need to eat a meat-based diet or a meat-including diet to be healthy?
You know, I think we don't need to worry about that so much. When doctors would quit smoking, and say, I'm going to quit smoking, people would react, oh, you've been kind of a sissy, and da-da-da-da-da. The person says, I don't really want to have cardiovascular disease. I think I will stop eating meat. I think nowadays people recognize that that's actually a good thing. I about 10 years ago, people stopped mispronouncing the word vegan, and everybody now knows somebody who is following a healthy vegan diet. So I think it's arrived. And every year we have the International Conference on Nutrition and Medicine here in Washington, D.C. We have more than 1,000 doctors here embracing this. And there are other conferences that are cropping up all over the place. And so the world is changing and people are accepting it.
Dr. Clapper, what about you? I think you kind of already answered this before, but what are your thoughts?
Oh, it's certainly getting easier. There are people, our friend and colleague, Dr. John McDougall, says people love to hear good news about bad habits. So there's always going to be folks who just can't bear the thought of never eating a steak. And so there'll be lots of, I don't know if it's pushback, but they'll cling to the rationales why meat is essential for strength. But again, the biggest, most powerful animals on the planet, elephants and buffaloes and giraffes, grow to thousands of pounds and mammalian muscle without ever eating meat. We just don't need it to be strong. As an ox, oxes don't eat meat. It's a fading resistance. People are seeing the power, especially with these films like The Game Changers. People see these magnificent athletes fueling their bodies on plant-based diets. People are letting go of that fear, that prejudice that you have to have meat to be strong. And it's delicious cuisine that's very satisfying, and there's less and less resistance to the idea. It's a welcome change.
And I would think, the Internet, there's so many ways that you can learn things on the Internet, and one of those things would be how to cook things so they're healthy and tasty, and people love to learn. So I would think just like YouTube channels is probably spreading this as much as anything. I see, Mike, you're nodding, Mike.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's the age of information, right? And all the information, as the doctors have been saying, is pointing towards eating plants. And I think the more that comes out, the more people will realize that they have access to all that information 24/7.
If you just joined the show today, we're getting a preview of Southwest Florida Veg Fest, which is this Sunday, February 16th at Riverside Park in Bonita Springs. We're joined by Mike Young. He's one of its organizers and founder of the nonprofit aplantbaseddiet.org. We're also joined on the line by Dr. Neil Barnard. He's an author, clinical researcher, and founding president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and Dr. Michael Clapper. He's a physician, vegan health educator, and author. Have you explored an entirely plant-based diet? To add your thoughts, find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. I want to bring another voice into the conversation now. Colby Brownell is the spearhead behind FGCU VegFest, that's Florida Gulf Coast University. It's going to be on campus the day after Southwest Florida VegFest. That's Monday the 17th. Colby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome.
So tell us about FGCU VegFest and how you not only got involved, but are the guy putting it together.
All right. So As Mike has already said, they've been doing this for 4 years. Last year, we got partnered up with them, and the FGCU Vegan Club and the Meditation Club here on campus. We came to their festival, and we tabled, and we spoke about things. And we just had the opportunity last year to bring one of their main guest speakers, to James Aspie, to campus. And so we threw a little event last year after their big festival. And so that was kind of like the mini blueprint for what we did this year. Knowing how successful that was, we started immediately thinking just a month or two after February of last year that, hey, let's do that again, but way bigger. And so since I became the president of the Vegan and Vegetarian Club and here at FGCU, and just with so many people, so many connections, we just thought we'd make this happen and make something impactful and different that the campus rarely sees. FGCU is known for sustainability and sustainability practices. There's many professors and experts in sustainability, and there are many speakers on sustainability. And we will have some of those same people at our festival on campus on Monday. But what I've been a student here for almost 4 years. I've almost never had a speaker talk about diet or nutrition like in a big way. And so I thought the opportunity to combine sustainability and diet and nutrition and tie it all around the idea of what you eat, what's on your plate matters for not just you but your family and your community and the world. And so I just think it's an amazing opportunity for Dr. Bernard and Dr. Clapper to join us here at the local university and speak to a wonderful crowd of students, faculty, and staff, and give their expertise and their lifelong career of knowledge and share that with students who are still in a place in their life where they're very open to change, still morphing. I think this information will be very valuable, and we won't be, unlike our club meetings, we won't be preaching just to the choir. This is a festival for all students at FGCU. So we fully intend many students that have never even tried a plant-based diet will be in attendance, and I'm sure it's going to be great.
Are you an entirely plant-based diet person yourself?
Yes, I am. I went from pretty much like a standard American diet to fully vegan in June 2016, and I've done some very, very minor experimentations since then, you know, like, oh, let me try some eggs or like meat, but it's never panned out the best. So yeah, I've been I'm entirely plant-based, and since June 2016, almost entirely plant-based.
You mentioned that at your events, you're speaking to the choir, but not this event. So how big is that choir here at FGCU? And by that, I want to know how many college students are following a plant-based diet. Is that something that you see
Yes.
a lot?
The Vegan and Vegetarian Club, which I became president of last semester, it's been going since August 2014. And they've done many events with guest speakers and film series. They did a film series where they played What the Health and Cowspiracy. So shout out to Dr. Clapper. It's been steady for as long as I've seen it. The big events get like 25 to 50 people. That's just a club. And if you're not familiar with FGCU's climate, FGCU is very student organization focused. Mm-hmm. There's around 200 active student organizations here at FGCU, and so there's a lot of pull for people's attention. So having most events that you throw have 25 to 50 is pretty good for FGCU. And we've heard of so many students that have become plant based because of our club, and you know, there's maybe right around 15,000 undergraduate students at FGCU. Can't say with anything scientific, but I definitely feel there's probably in the low thousands, like maybe 2,000 or 3,000 that are at least vegetarian or plant-based. And what's very wonderful about our campus is we actually, out of all of our faculty and professors, and I've met many of them, I've met at least 30 different faculty or staff here at FGCU that either have been following a vegetarian or vegan diet for many, many years. And a few of those faculty will actually be speaking at our event on campus. So, yeah, I find it's wonderful that our approach to life is being supported, not just together as students, we're supporting each other, but also some of the faculty and staff here are also very supportive and absolutely adore that what we're doing this festival. And so There's a lot of support here on campus.
Hmm. Dr. Barnard or Dr. Clapper, do either of you guys know what the overall rates of, you know, veganism or vegetarianism or plant-based diet eaters are trending in the United States?
I find it hard to give exact figures. When you do surveys, frankly, it's getting harder and harder because you're relying on people who pick up their telephones, which is a vanishing species.
Right.
So we're reduced to looking more at dollars than people. And those are dollars of the cashiers who are ringing up vegan meals at fast food chains or at restaurants or products at the grocery store. And as you know, that's just exploding. So we can't be made perhaps much more precise than exploding, but it's something along those lines.
What are your thoughts on, you know, the surge of these non-meat meats like the Impossible Burger or the, I guess now Dunkin' Donuts, you can get a sausage biscuit that's got nothing meat in it. What are your thoughts on those products?
I welcome them with an asterisk in that they're quite remarkable in their meat-like similarities. And if it helps Joe Meat and Potatoes guy get off his beef burger onto a plant-based product, that's a huge help. Because one, there's no question that these burgers are highly processed. They've got vegetable fats and processed protein, but they also have no cholesterol. They don't have antibiotics in them. They don't have the pesticides and herbicides that accumulate in animal muscle. They are, you know, from square one, they are marginally healthier. And no animals have to be killed, and the planet doesn't get destroyed in their production. So I'm a big fan of them. But there's no question, you don't want to eat them every day. They're a treat food to have once a month, or just to help people transition to a completely whole food, plant-based diet. And I think they have a useful role to play at this time.
Dr. Barnard, what about you?
Yeah, they're methadone. If you're hooked on heroin, methadone is your way out. If you're hooked on cheeseburgers, you know, the veggie burger is your way out. It's a lot healthier than whatever you're eating now. But what people discover is when they're on a vegan diet, they gradually go toward healthier and healthier and healthier foods. So it might start out with a fairly greasy veggie burger, and then it goes to the low-fat one. And then it might just go to beans and vegetables and fruits. And I think there is something to be said for foods that are in as natural a form as possible.
Well, that is basically all the time that we have for our conversation. Mike Young, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with or remind us about VegFest?
Well, just thank Dr. Barnard and Clapper for being here and for being at our events. And just a reminder that our event is the public event, because I know that one thing that wasn't brought up is there's a lack of parking here. This is a private event that Colby's thrown for campus, so we'll make sure people, listeners, know about that. So come on, just check us out, swflvegfest.org on Sunday.
All right. Well, Mike Young is one of the main organizers of Southwest Florida VegFest 2020 and founder of the nonprofit of plantbaseddiet.org. Mike, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Neil Barnard is an author, clinical researcher, and founding president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He'll be one of the featured speakers on Sunday and on Monday. Dr. Barnard, thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And also, Dr. Michael Clapper is a physician, vegan health educator, and author, and will also be a featured presenter at both events. Dr. Clapper, thanks for being with us as well.
It was great being with you. Thank you.
And finally, Colby Brownell. He's the spearhead of the FGCU VegFest, which is on Monday the 17th. Colby, thanks to you.
Thank you again.
You can find links to more information about both events and today's guests on our website, wgcu.org/GCL. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Life is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Kadiri. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.